Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love for the April 10th show, 2010. And I've got a powerful show today. I'll be dealing with a subject that's got a lot of light and got a lot of serious stuff, too. So there's two parts to the show. The first part's going to be the heavy stuff. And it's going to be a short excerpt, an audio excerpt I've got from John DiNardo. It's a sample that he's broadcast that he's working on. And it's about an 8-minute audio drama that begins to explain why earthquake activity is now reaching unprecedented levels and why NASA's warning of coming solar scorching of the Earth has gone unpublicized, and why the wealthiest and the most powerful people in the world are about to descend into hundreds of underground cities that they've constructed over the last two decades with our money, but without our knowledge. Now, that's quite an intro to the heavy side of it, and we'll play the audio, and then we'll pick it back up.
NASA discovered, and were very excited about having found this, what they term Planet X. X is the Roman numeral for the number 10, meaning the 10th planet in the universe. They were very excited to discover it on December 31st, the year 1983. But suddenly, the chief scientist of the infrared astronomical satellite system that sent this thing into deep space, and they sent back pictures of it, and they released it to six of the top daily newspapers around the world. Suddenly the government came in, started putting a lid on all this information. But now we find out, just on the week of January 7th, the year 2002, that all of a sudden they're squashing all of this information and keeping it from the public. They said that it was an asteroid when finally they began to admit that it was there. But now in Newsweek magazine, they actually show it with a reflection, because now any astronomer on Earth can get a picture of it. So, the year 2002, January 7th, they finally admitted there is another planet, and it's heading toward the Earth, between the Earth and between the Sun, and it will displace the gravity of the Sun temporarily as it passes by, just as it did in the days of Peleg. Only the largest control telescopes that have been controlled by the government for years have seen Planet X, until I just mentioned they admitted that it is a real planet January 7th, 2002. But they began to see it in 2001. It was easy to cover it up until then. But then, all of a sudden, in the year 2001, small to mid-level observatories, such as the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, one in South America, one in Switzerland, began to see that there was something there, and it was moving. And according to their calculations, it was heading toward our solar system, because it had orbited out of our solar system. Occasionally, you would expect, with such an overwhelmingly important worldwide story, some of the details would be let out somewhere at some time. They have been. To be exact, it is our enemy since 1917 to 1919, international communism. The leaders of Russia have spilled the beans. Here's just one particular quote that came out over Reuters Press. That's like the AP and UPI Press here in America. This is the European Newswire Service. This was September 13th, the year 2000. I quote, "Anticipated chain of disasters due to hit in 2003. And then another one of the headlines was, "Massive population shrinkage. They also wondered out loud, and it was recorded on microphone during one of their, what we would term in Britain, a parliamentary session or in a congressional session in the United States. It's a Politburo session in Russia. They even wondered if their nation would even exist anymore at all. Government officials, you can be sure, can be trusted to protect none of us. They won't even release this information. They will not try to protect any of us because they know they can't. But they started a mysterious building program underground and at least 129 underground facilities from one end of the country to the other has been completed. We always thought that it was in case of a nuclear weapon, but we found out that it's not. It's in case Planet X comes our way. We need to understand how and why and when the Earth's surface is going to change so abruptly, and it will fulfill in great detail every single item of the Bible, the scriptures that I'll show you. Some of this information came off the wire service of ABC News in the year 2000. Others of it came from BBC, talking about a planet beyond Pluto heading this way. There's absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. They're actually talking that the population of this world could be reduced by 90%. Does that sound logical to anyone? Could it be? What if you saw a scripture right in the Bible where God Almighty said, yes, it's logical that it will happen? Why would it be so important to be sealed? Because if 90% of the population is going to die when this planet comes into this atmosphere or into our orbital structure and all the planet begins to shift, whole land masses sink, others rise, then wouldn't it be to our advantage to be sealed by the God of the universe for divine protection, to be kept as in secret? Notice what it says in Isaiah chapter 6. I'll start in verse 5 through verse 13. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. This is Isaiah. He's not worthy to take this down, he says. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw it in a vision. That vision disturbed him. It didn't sit well with him. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. So now Isaiah is ready to give a prophecy because God has cleansed him and counted him worthy to receive this message to deliver to us today. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. This is Israel, is supposed to be warned. Hear you indeed, but understand not. See you indeed, but perceive not. So you go tell them the message. Don't be worried whether they'll listen to you, whether they'll laugh you out of town. Don't worry. You just deliver this message for me.
All righty. So that kind of cut short. It was actually just a kind of a demo introduction to a piece that John DiNardo is developing. That's a sample broadcast. And it's kind of intense, to say the least, if this is true, which many of you, I'm sure, know to be true, and others don't want to believe it's true. But it's a powerful subject. I thought I'd begin with that clip to get your attention, so to speak. And the resolution of this issue is in process with each one listening. The rest of the show, I'm going to be going into, you might say, the light side. And this is a subject that I want to begin with by orienting a kind of a parallel situation that was going on at the beginning of the founding of the United States of America. The revolution that was going on there is a parallel to the revolution that's going on in the collective consciousness of humanity right now. There's people all over the world that are well aware through the internet and other sources of what's coming on this 2012 timeline. As far as the exact incoming of this Planet X and the timeline there, I provided a link on the article that I provided with this show that goes into Signs of the Times down below in the copy. There's a reference to Signs of the Times in my website's recent articles. I go into this in more detail. On the specific timeline, it's not exact. There are certain windows when it's more likely that there will be the Earth changes and or a pole shift with this Planet X inbound. I'm kind of in the spirit with this show of Isaiah, or I'd like to think I am, about, you know, just tell the truth of this and let the chips fall where they may. And my philosophy is it's better to know than have the ostrich approach, which makes your butt a big target, so to speak. So with this knowing, there's always a test. And, of course, the test is largely in the solar plexus as well as in the higher mental body, the higher consciousness. The solar plexus, the emotional stuff that goes on with this is kind of gut-wrenching to realize that we're facing some really serious Earth changes, some serious times in the short term. And we're talking about the year 2010, or at least in through the end of April 2011. Within this next year, there's these three windows when it's likely that this is to occur, as you can read on one of the articles that I have that I've linked on the website, and this, with these links that I provided with this information regarding signs of the times. And a lot of correlating information that kind of connects the dots to the big picture, and with, and some of them with great specificity on what we're facing. So the parallel, you might say, to what was going on with the founding fathers and the revolution that they were engaged with, the great experiment in democracy then, the issue you might say now is it's a global issue. And the end of the world as we know it is the beginning of a new world. And that concept of the ending and the beginning, and in the process where each person stands is each person's test that's best, you might say. And some individuals can hear this and some individuals can't. Some individuals really want to know the upside and the downside and every side of this issue. And I'm going to be going into that with the concept of balance, the middle way, you might say, without the extremism. And I want to reference again the issue of what was going on with the founding of America and the parallel now with the founding of a wholly new global civilization, and the process and the parallels with what a lot of experts on the Mayan calendar are talking about regarding this this 2012 timeline and the accelerating rate of change that's happening through 2012 as the energetics of the planet change, not just because of Planet X, but as our whole solar system crosses the galactic plane, and alignment of energies that are of many cycles within cycles. And I provided a link again on the information with the website and Cosmic Love down below. You'll see links to really good YouTube videos if you can watch them on the Mayan calendar, the best ones I've seen that really give a good comprehension of what's going on with the evolution of consciousness in humanity and has been historically as a function of the cycles within cycles of the most sophisticated timekeeping system man has known, which is really, if you get into the Mayan calendar, you can understand that it's so far beyond the Gregorian calendar that we have now, with an understanding of the linkage of Earth cycles to larger cosmic cycles and cycles within cycles, rather than just the one cycle that we know as the Gregorian calendar. So many of you are familiar with this subject. Others are not so familiar, but a lot of experts on the subject of 2012 are talking about the real subject being a conscience convergence. And I have a link to an article on that. One of the leading experts on that subject, Kalaman, goes into that in great detail with an article that I've linked with. You might say the article within the article. So there's an understanding that there's a revolution in consciousness going on. The revolution was more of a revolutionary war with the founding fathers. Now we're talking about a revolution in higher consciousness, and a shift in consciousness that a lot of people are experiencing already is a shift in time, a loss of time, and basically a perceptual shift that's affecting a lot of people in different ways. And how this is affecting our DNA, our emotional bodies, the key subject I wanted to go into through the rest of the show is regarding just exactly that, the middle way as far as a consciousness of how one is conscious, and the whole subject of balanced and a balanced consciousness. So there is crisis extremism, and there's the middle way, and the middle way is the whole point of a balance between the extremes, and the understanding of that concept and how to maintain balance. It's the philosophical calm, you might say, at the center of the hurricane. And a lot of the founding fathers, some of you know, were Rosicrucians and Masons, were into the mysteries of God, and that's why we have the pyramid on the Great Seal of the United States, with a lot of mystical symbolism that's ancient. And they were really into the understanding of the 33rd level of the Masonic Order, for example, was the initiation of Christhood. Now, that understanding of the Masonic Order, the Scottish Rite Order, and the original concept was the 33rd level was the initiation of what we would call like Christhood or Christ-like conscience. George Washington was a 33rd degree Mason. Jefferson and Franklin were Rosicrucians, and they were in the mysteries of God. And they tried to create a new order of the ages with America, and it has succeeded to the point now where gross defects obscure actual gains, you might say. And that's because the Masonic Order, the Illuminati, and you can get into the whole nature of what has happened to invert, subvert, and pervert the 33rd level of the order to what we would call the inversion of that. I won't go to the dark side here, but you all know I think most of you know what I'm talking about. And the understanding of the correct understanding of this Christ-like mind, some people would say Buddhic consciousness or enlightened consciousness, and this is what I'm going to be going into, the parallels between East and West, left brain, right brain, Christian, Buddhist thought, the middle way in both cases with this understanding of a philosophic fearlessness that would not fear either the embrace of Christ or the challenges of death and hell, so to speak. So that first piece was a little bit of the challenge of what's coming, and I'd like to go into more the body of this show with this concept of the middle way and the initiation of an awareness, a more full spectrum awareness of the language of consciousness and how to become conscious of how one is conscious, with some frames of reference to do so. Some of you may have seen the recent two-hour PBS TV special on the life and teachings of the Buddha by award-winning filmmaker David Gruben. And this other Prince of Peace, Gautama Buddha, is just as relevant to Western civilization in our bewildering times of violent change and spiritual confusion now. But this documentary failed to tell the rest of the story, as radio legend Paul Harvey would say. And the rest of the story is that multiple researchers, East and West, long ago discovered the ancient scrolls in Lhasa, Tibet, that documented the lost years of Jesus, how Jesus was known to have traveled Tibet in his lost years and was called the 18th Buddha, the Awakened One. Now, this is a fascinating subject. I'm sure some of you are familiar with it, and I've provided links. You can read more about that on the lost years of Jesus. According to numerous accounts, the Vatican had plenty of evidence of these records, which were disappeared to keep the lost years lost for obvious reasons. And I'll let you sort that out. I've provided more information on the links on the lost years of Jesus about that. I wrote about this in the article, Tibetan Uprising, which, again, you can go to that link and read about that article 2 years ago. And it's interesting to note that the lost years of Jesus builds on the evidence that Jesus was born into the Gnostic community of the Essenes, which is more similar to Buddhism than the contemporary Christian sects. Gnostics are interested in a direct connection with Source, Source as Gnosis. Gnosticism is knowing. That's the same awakening, the enlightenment that Buddhism aspires to. So, as Solomon the Wise once said, there's nothing new under the sun, just different ways to reflect and perfect or mediate and meditate and mediate a relationship with Source, to know directly without prejudiced BS, belief systems. You might say organized religion is whether whatever sect of whatever religion has its own prejudice for each different religion as a belief system. So you might find it interesting how the first principles of Buddhism correlate to the first principles of Christianity. The first teaching of Buddha, the Awakened One, was on the middle way of enlightened love, just as the awakened Jesus, which we call the Christ, as he demonstrated in his life story. So call it holy compassion or divine love, the name and the flame, the frequency is the same. And that's the frequency that's common to enlightenment, whether East or West, through the Christ or the Buddha. And this middle way, as explained by Buddha, is like a fine-tuned string instrument, and if, in the sense that if the string is too loose, it won't vibrate, or if it's too tight, it will break. And in either case, there can be no music. The middle way is all about the music of harmony and love as a frequency, as in frequently. So I'm going to go into this a little bit more. The links I provide has graphics and more of an in-depth understanding of this concept. And the concept, basically, to give a kind of a frame of reference to it, the key to integrity has always been integration of all the keys to source code. I'm back to the subject of going to source for enlightenment. And this is the understanding that has been largely lost by the left-brain-dominated secular science emphasis of Western civilization. This has led, consequently, this left-brain, linear, logical, lockstep letter of the scientific laws has led to a highly compartmentalized, over-specialized, or otherwise fragmented consciousness of a spiritually challenged nature. But as the veil thins on this accelerated timeline, as the accelerated rate of change thins, with the veil thins on this 2010-2012 timeline. The Eastern concepts of an all-connected holism are nurturing civility by emphasizing the win-win virtues of abundant conscience rather than the win-lose values of scarcity economics behind scarcity consciousness, which is the oxymoronic value of scarcity, the paradigm paralysis that has a habit of willful ignorance, which willfully ignores the abundant virtues of enlightened spiritual conscience. Now, that's the extended, long way of saying that there is a big shift going on, both east and west, from the between the extremes of left-brain linear logical thinking, of the scientific secular nature, to a more of a right-brain holistic non-linear spherical spiritual conscience. And there's this middle way between the two that basically references keynotes from both with a synergistic whole that's greater than the sum of the parts. So I'm going to go into this a little bit more, and I provided, again, graphics and color-coordinated, you might say, codes, source codes, to orient this concept of the middle way. So, again, the Western mind, being more left-brain scientific or oriented, can better relate to the concept of enlightenment in terms of the language of the physics, the language of light. And as we're talking about the difference between in the full spectrum of consciousness, there's full spectrum order and there's full spectrum disorder. They sometimes refer to it as autism. And there's a lot of diagnosing going on these days when people have these different aspects of full spectrum disorder that they prescribe drugs for. Some of you are more familiar with that than others, but basically we're talking about the difference between a bright bulb and a dim bulb, a dim bub. It's like the difference between Buddha and Bubba. The full spectrum of colors in the white light is like the full spectrum conscience of an enlightened or fully awake nature. One analogy of a mechanistic nature is like a car engine that runs well on all cylinders without leaking pressure and losing power. Full spectrum conscience is that, again, the enlightened whole that's greater than the sum of all spectral frequencies. And this concept of full spectrum conscience, full spectrum order rather than full spectrum disorder, is really the language of light of consciousness, the language of light as consciousness, that as you become more conscious of how you're conscious with this language, you naturally involve and evolve your conscience. So the white light of the full spectrum is made up of many frequencies of the color spectrum. And the middle way in this spectrum, in angstrom units, in the middle of the color spectrum, is the green and yellow frequencies, right in the middle of the color spectrum. And you have the golden yellow wisdom ray in the center of the spectrum, right beside the emerald green healing ray. So there is a physics and there is a science to this understanding, and there are parallels with the language of light, scientifically speaking, and the language of consciousness. The extremes of frequency on the visible light spectrum are the red and the blue ends of the spectrum. You have Pacific blue on one end, and you've got fiery red on the other. Of course, you've got ultraviolet and infrared that gets beyond the perceptual spectrum. But this Pacific blue end is like the passive loose string I was referring to on the musical instrument that has no vibratory feeling. And on the other extreme, you've got the fiery red end that's like the tight, high-strung emotions that burn hot and the string that breaks. The more emotional you become in excess, the tendency is to become less reasonable. And the more mental one becomes in excess, the less the feeling of enlightened compassion. In other words, extremism in consciousness is not the philosophic calm of a wise, discerning nature, the middle way. It's not the middle way. The middle way centers the extremes, is the point I'm trying to make. And I can go into other analogies of that. We all know of the mad scientists who are all mental with no feelings for humanity. Likewise, you know, you've got the example of mad, angry people who see red, but they lose the ability of rational reasoning. Another example in popular culture is in the Star Trek series, you've got Spock on one end of the spectrum, who's all mental, you know, the science officer. And you've got Scotty, you know, the Scottish fiery, emotional guy on the other end of the spectrum who gets really emotional. And you've got the captain in the middle, so to speak. And there's other analogies of this, but it's just kind of common sense. The tendency is as you become too emotional, you become less reasonable. As you become too intellectual, the wishy-washy person who can rationalize anything with his intellect, but is not centered and connected. So that's the fire and the water analogy. You have fiery emotional on one end, and you have wishy-washy with intellect on the extreme and on the other end. And of course, the balance is a wise dominion, the middle way, wisdom that balances the extremes. And this is the discernment. This wisdom is the discernment for healing differences, healing the extremes. So you've got the healing ray, the green, and you've got the wisdom ray, the gold and yellow, in the middle of the color spectrum. And I provide a link that goes into this in more detail on this light language and the understanding of light language. So if you watch the PBS special on Buddha, or if you know the story of the history of Buddha, after enlightenment, he first taught this middle way concept. And then he went on to teach the fourfold path. Now, the fourfold path has been represented in many ways, but archetypally, they represent, you might say, the source code. I'm going to go back to this concept of a direct relationship with source. And the source code is that the fourfold path references is the same symbolic frame of reference that used by Tibetan and Hopi sand paintings, you know, these mandalas, the four-sided mandalas that Carl Jung, you know, the father of modern psychology, referenced as the archetypal foundation of psychology. And Christians have referred to fourfold path in their own way as the four square gospel, the city four square, or the New Jerusalem is described in Revelations 21:10-11. And I'm going to give and go through that right now. That scripture in Revelations is that, quote, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even as a jasper stone, clear as a crystal, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth." Now, this is also referred to as the cosmic cube, or the not just the city four square, but here in the Revelations it says that it's four square and the length is as large as the breadth. It's a cube. So this is kind of interesting symbolism that's common to both Christian scripture and the Buddhist fourfold path. And the Tibetan Buddhism's use of sand paintings that depict this as a four-sided mandala, and how modern psychology goes back to the same fourfold archetypal foundation. So a lot of people would find that interesting. You might say that the middle way, and I'm going to go into a dimensional understanding of this. In one sense, the middle way is a one-dimensional understanding of the law of the one. This is the first principle of pure intention at the heart of the law of love. A lot of speakers on the subject of enlightenment are referring to pure intention as at the heart of it. And so you might say that in a very simple way, the middle way is just a pure intention. And the source code for Christianity is an anagram, which is Christ I Amity, Christ I Am, you know, the I Am presence, the Christ I Amity or Christianity. That's the anagram, is Christ I Amity. And the loving Christ I Am affirmation is the first precept of Christianity. Or as Jesus said, and Christians consider this the first precept of Christianity, is that we love with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and your neighbor as thyself. Of course, in today's world, and this is where we're getting, where I'm going into this global revolution in higher consciousness. In today's world of instant everywhere and interactive internet reality, your neighbor is now all citizens in our global village. Now, another way of looking at this is that Israel is all that is real, and net reality is all that is real in our global village today of instant everywhere and interactive connection. It's all connected. Now, this concept of how everything is connected, holism, is an Eastern concept, and it's still largely foreign to Western institutions and Western ways of thinking. Everything is compartmentalized. Healing is separated from spirituality. But if you get into Native cultures, the healers were always spiritual. Healing was always spiritual as well as physical. And it's all separated and compartmentalized and over-specialized in the Western mind and in Western institutions. So, in a very simple way, the law of the one, the law of the middle way, in a one-dimensional sense, is that it's all connected. And this is the process that's in process with the internet. It's been really revolutionary to all our social, political, and economic institutions. But the full implications is that a new connection that fulfills, you might say, in the globally in the whole world in the new earth and the new heavens that's in process of becoming, that will, you might say, connects all Christs and Buddhas who are one in God and see love in each one. So this divine love, God love, divine love concept of the one law in each one is the law of the one, the middle way. And it's actually, in a one-dimensional sense, it's the middle, the very middle of the two-dimensional graphic of the City Four Square Mandala. In other words, if you take a square and draw it on a page and put a cross between the corners and put a circle in the middle, the circle, you might say, represents, it's like looking down on the pyramid, and the circle is the spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual, or it's the law of the one, the circle of oneness or wholeness. And it's the very center. You take a two-dimensional graphic, and the very center of it is that one-dimensional frame of reference with the circle, and the symbol of the circle is the symbol of oneness and connection. Sometimes referred to symbolically as the spherical conscience, the one-dimensional spherical conscience that's truly spiritual. So, if you're looking down on the pyramid, and pyramid means fire in the middle, and so the capstone in the middle of this plan, looking down on, is on the square with the cross through the corners and the circle in the middle, with the capstone in the middle. The capstone is the top cornerstone of the pyramid of self and civilization. And this concept of the pyramid of self and civilization is, again, an archetypal a blueprint for both the inner sense and effective sensory perception and the outer sense of divine love and action. So you have the law of the one, and you have the law in a two-dimensional sense with a graphic. You know, as you look at it, it's two-dimensional. So the four sides of the pyramid represent the four archetypes of the circle of wholeness called the medicine wheel by Native Americans. And the four winds or the four directions are the archetypal representation of the same fourfold path to the middle way, the capstone. So this fourfold path that was the second teaching of Buddha has its own unique Eastern interpretation that does correlate in amazing ways to these Western archetypes. And Buddha went on to teach the Eightfold Path, which is actually, and this is really interesting, if you get into the geometry of divinity or geometrically ordered divinity, the Eightfold Path is actually a 3D representation of this cosmic cube I referred to in the Revelations quote above. There are eight paths to the center, the middle way, leading from the eight corners of the cube to the center, as above, so below. You've got a cube, and if you put lines from the corners across the corners through the center, you've got two pyramids, as above, so below. And when these two pyramids both meet, they both meet with the same capstone conscience. The concept of the capstone corresponds to the concept of full spectrum consciousness. In other words, all the components to the capstone basically converge in the spirit that matters, the holy whole that is greater than the sum of the four square parts above as below, you know, the pyramid above and below. So in this 3D cube, the four lower bodies above and below the common capstone are the four sides of being, the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical sides of each individual. And in civilization, this represents core institutional processes for enlightenment, discernment, healing, and the abundant life in general. In other words, there's direct analogy. These archetypes that Jung referred to in the collective consciousness, the language of consciousness, and these geometric thought forms that reference these components to the capstone. So we're back to this concept of the key to integrity has always been integration of all the keys to source code. And to have a direct relationship with source is basically to become conscious of how one is conscious. This has been largely lost by left-brain, science-dominated civilization, but it's coming back with these Eastern concepts of all-connected holism. And the concept of the middle way and the fourfold path and the eightfold path, and you might say geometric frames of reference, is providing the code to the codes of, by, and for whole conscience, or holy conscience, holistic conscience, healthy conscience, conscience as the source code at the source, you know, conscience as the source of enlightenment and the frame of reference for source code. So this is the God code and the love model, and the love model as a geometric frame of reference for geometrically ordered divinity, G-O-D, God code, geometrically ordered divinity. And if you go a little deeper into this cosmic cube metaphor with the geometry of divinity, you'll discover a cube within the central capstone of the cross-reference cube, a cube within the cube. And the smaller cube in the capstone is a fractal microcosm of the larger cube. Now this gets interesting when you realize that this cube within a cube is the actual geometry of the gold element molecule. You know, the geometry of a molecule of gold has this cube within a cube. And this geometry of a cube within a cube is also the thought form corresponding to the gold standard for conscience at the heart of every golden age. So the cube within a cube, the cosmic cube, the city four square of the New Jerusalem, you can see where I'm going with all this. There's frames of reference, these archetypes in the collective consciousness that are common east and west, and the common sense of this understanding of these frames of reference is really, let me give a personal experience. It's a true story. It really sums it up. Those who have read of my experiences with Elizabeth Clare Prophet at the article that I linked, Meetings with Miraculous People, can perhaps appreciate this experience I had the last day of a three-month summer university with Elizabeth Clare Prophet in the autumn quarter of 1979. She was having a question and answer session with about 200 students, and I timidly asked the question, is it true that the mystical metaphors of the cosmic cube, the city four square, the New Jerusalem, and the pyramids of self and civilization are all saying the same thing? And like I said it more timidly than that, because, you know, these subjects have come up, these mystical metaphors, throughout the quarter and through other teachings the Elizabeth Clare Prophet had, but it, you know, it never been all put together. And I asked this question, and she paused a moment. Okay. She paused a moment as she looked around on the physical faces of the students, and then with a strong, drawn-out emphasis simply said, yes. And there was an unrestrained sigh of, that went up in the student body. And I never forgot that. So there's more links, more information, and graphics that goes into this concept of the middle way, the fourfold path, the eightfold path, and these archetypes for awakening, acceleration, and evolutionary ascension. So I'm going to do a wrap on the show for today. There's a meditation that follows. And happy trails, and see you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I've enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love. And the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, now, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love and action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love and man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.